Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Full Force Newsburst Live special with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com. How's everyone doing? I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday. Nearly forgot what day it was then. Thursday day, evening, whatever it is, whatever, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever. I hope you're having a good one. I thought, yeah, bit of news this morning as a bit of leakage slipped out. So yeah, I thought we would go live and discuss said leak for Super 7 and their SDCC. I mean, like all of their SDCC exclusives, I think, kind of slipped out, didn't they? Or a good amount of them anyway. I noticed, I think, very early this morning, it would have been the night before, but I was asleep because, you know, that usually happens at night for me. And I think Praeternia on Twitter had, or X had posted those images, one of which was, of course, our own cheeky Zartan, Ultimate Zartan. Now, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into all of this, and you're already flying into the comments. That's amazing. Hello, guys. Hope everyone's having a good night. So let's get into it. Yeah, let's get into it without any further ado. So, I found out about this, again, first thing this morning, when, I think, like I said, Praeternia, I think, had posted this a number of hours prior to me finding out about this, like about 8 hours, actually. But, yeah, Super 7's SDCC kind of slate, a number of different figures were leaked for SDCC, which is a little bit of a shame, because, you know, like, and also, I will say that I don't think this is everything. Would it be everything for SDCC? I have a feeling they might have more things as well. I don't know, actually. I need to check out the full post just to see exactly what was in there. I know there was a TMNT one. There was some other stuff as well, wasn't there? But obviously, for what we are interested in right now, it is all about G.I. Joe. And of course, part of that is the Ultimates line. And the image that was leaked for G.I. Joe Ultimates was this one on the screen at the moment, but there you go. Was this one of Zartan, who comes with a cloak. A lot of the things that his, well, a number of things that his previous version comes with, but then also that kind of like snake, kind of like headpiece thing. And of course, the because it's a disguise he's basically rocking here, the cloak and the, he's supposed to be a snake charmer in the episode, The Jungle Trap. Now, I just want, yeah, here we go. So it looks as though it's, oh, that's cool. So Super 7 Ultimates exclusives that were leaked today, or yesterday, whatever you want to say. TMNT Chef Michelangelo, which is amazing. Dungeons & Dragons Invisible Sheila the Thief, I called that one. I think I was talking to Pat about that, and I said, I bet we get an invisible Sheila. Like, I bet we get a transparent Sheila. And we did. And a Thundercats Ghost Groon, which is quite fancy looking, actually. And these are just the Ultimates. So obviously, there might be some other things. There might be some other things that they still haven't, you know, for SDCC. But it was listed by Canadian retailer eCollectibles. That's how that information snuck out. And of course, we've got, like I said, the Jungle Trap Zartan. Now, if you're not fully, like, you know, completely aware of the Jungle Trap, right at the beginning of that episode, Zartan is spotted charming a snake, but it is no real actual snake. No, it is a camera, and he's relaying information as he spies on the Joes. So that's really all that's going on in that one. And Super 7 have decided to commemorate that, like, 15 to 20 second scene with a full Ultimates figure. Now, a lot of comments kind of came flooding through. We were actually aware that this was coming, but only from the description, only from a description. So I knew that it was coming. I didn't know what it looked like. So that was the first time I saw it today in the line of leaked image. I believe it's a soft goods cape as well, for those that are kind of not 100% sure. Now, what can I say about this particular thing that, like, you know me, I'm a fairly positive guy, but, and I do like it when they do deep cuts and all this kind of stuff, but I feel like for Ultimates, this feels, I don't know if this feels like a, not a waste, that's not really what I'm trying to say, but like, it doesn't feel like, you know, as interesting, let's say, as, you know, something like a foreign repaint of a current figure, you know, where you kind of completely repaint the figure, like a blooming red laser sort of situation, like Cobra Commander, red laser deco, Bosch, that would be wicked. But of course, I'm a little bit biased on that, of course, I get that. But then you look at this one and you're like, it's a very specific moment. And you're basically, I mean, the difference between this and the Wave 4, there are differences, by the way. We will look at the comparison momentarily. But there is definitely definitely differences in the two figure decos. But it's almost like, it's like we're back at the Classified series and we're getting Master of Disguise Zartan, Retro Zartan, regular Classified Zartan. It's just like, yeah, it's ever so different. But it's not at the same time. So I'm intrigued as to why they went this direction, genuinely. I do like the cloak, though. I think that's pretty dope. But in terms of like all the other accessories, I mean, it's just effectively that scene and then a few. Anyway, let's look at some of the comparisons here. Now, as you can see, the image of Wave 4 Zartan is way clearer, obviously. The one that leaked is ever so slightly not very high quality. It's not potato cam levels, but it isn't perfect. But you can definitely see differences in deco, which I'll touch on in a short while. We'll go right into the deco in a second. In terms of the accessories, obviously they've trimmed down quite a few here. They've removed one of the hands, the one that would make sense to hold the rifle at the end of the, you know, to hold the rifle like so at the end of the barrel is the word I'm looking for. So that has been cut because that rifle isn't in there. Makes sense. His heads are in there, but they're ever so slightly different. It looks like he's got two open mouth, sort of like teeth showing and one open mouth and then one closed mouth on the Wave 4 version. It looks like we've got two closed mouth versions as well, but with a slight kind of grin, kind of like sneaky grin going on one of them. So they've changed the heads ever so slightly. Then of course you've got that kind of like almost like Cobra. It is like a headpiece, isn't it, that goes over the head. I'm pretty sure it's like the Cobra like kind of headband sort of thing. He's got one of the pistols, not two, so he ends up with just one of those pistols. He keeps the knife. He loses the stopwatch and he loses the bomb as well that he came with the other one, and instead gets the cloak and gets the fake snake camera in the basket. Anywho, that is, I mean, that's pretty much what you're dealing with. I mean, it's not a massive amount of change or difference or what have you. You're just getting the cloak and you're getting the snake basket and the flute and maybe a different head based on what I'm looking at with the heads that are in there. But then if you look at, and the final kind of comparison I wanted to kind of touch on was the actual deco. And again, like I said, they're not the best quality. It's not the best quality image. And the render for the Wave 4 is much, much clearer. But you can see differences quite clearly on this one. So obviously the kind of red is a lot darker, kind of like a deeper, darker sort of red on the kind of new Zartan with the cloak. The blue is deeper and darker as well, actually. And he's got what looks to be black rather than dark gray shoulder pauldrons and the kind of gloves, the kind of the wrist or the elbow length gloves. The boots are also black, and it looks like the kind of silvery gray sort of scenario is a lot brighter too. If you look at the two kind of areas where they have that, like on the kind of shoulder straps the kind of, it's a much brighter, shinier kind of like metallic kind of silver almost. And then down on the boots, those kind of elements are a lot brighter and shinier as well. So you can see the differences. And also there's little kind of loop details on the bottom of the chest piece as well. They're like a darker gray, which is quite interesting on the new one. And the belt's different too. The belt's got almost like two colors in there. It's got black and it's got that kind of like metallic-y kind of gray color. And then the skin tone seems to be a lot different as well. Now, I'm not as going to assume that this is a color-changing Zartan, because the one for Wave 4 was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. But it might make, I don't know if it might make sense to, I don't know. I kind of feel like he should be color changing. Just in general, I feel like he should be. But in any case, he's got a lighter skin tone. And again, this happened with Classified. This absolutely happened with Classified. When you look at the different Zartans, they also have skin tone differences as well. Obviously, the one that changes color, that's quite a different skin tone. But yeah, as far as we know, as far as we are aware at this point in time, we don't know if he color changes or not. I don't want to say yes or no, or even have a hazard a guess or what, you know, any of that, because I don't know. But I'd be surprised if it did. I would also be surprised if it didn't. I wouldn't be surprised either way is what I'm trying to say. Sorry, actually. But yeah, I could see it from both points. Like, you know, maybe money saving to do another version. Don't do it with that kind of plastic. I don't know if it's that big a deal, honestly. I definitely feel like he should color change, no matter what figure it is. I just feel that should be the case for all Zartans. But I could be, my expectation could be a little bit like unrealistic there. Anyway, that is effectively all there is to say in terms of the comparison aspect. As you can see, it is so close to the original. You're effectively getting the same figure, but with just different accessories at the end of the day. So is it worth it? That's up to you guys, really. If you're like, if you're in on the line, if you're like 100% in and you want every single figure, then great. There you go. You've got a nice little homage nod to the Sumbo series in the episode The Jungle Trap. If you're looking at it like, I have Zartan Wave 4, I don't need this one, then that's fine as well, isn't it? I mean, you know, you don't need every single Zartan or every single figure. And for, I think, a lot of you in the comments, you're probably not in on this line at all anyway, either for affordability, you know, like financial reasons, or you know, preference. Like, I know a lot of people aren't really into them, and I get that. I personally think the Ultimates are phenomenal, but I unfortunately fall into the group that just can't afford it right now. So I'm aware of that, but that's why I can't really get involved. I must say though, it's a bit underwhelming, I would say, for an SDCC exclusive as well. I don't know what they're going to do packaging wise, but it would be nice if they did something like extra special. But if you look at previous SDCC exclusives, they don't necessarily do like crazy special packaging. Sometimes they'll change the, you know, the kind of like the color and the deco and some of the design on it. But for the most part, it's the same packaging for the Ultimates in those window boxes. They might do something for this one. They might have like a little, you know, the slip cover is a cloak. That'd be quite cute. But like I said, not a clue on that one. All we were aware of, there was a Jungle Trap Zartan coming for SDCC, and we knew it was going to be effectively the same figure. But having seen it, and I am sort of glad that they did do deco changes, and it gives people an opportunity, I guess, if you're not in on like all the waves and you're just getting like the odd exclusive here or there and you wanted a Zartan, it gives you an opportunity to get that one, I guess. So there's that angle as well. But I'm a little bit bias when it comes to this stuff, and I always want to see like Palutoy figures getting getting done. So I was really excited when they did Red Jackal, when they did even though she's not Palutoy, Red Knot Baroness. I thought they were really, really cool figures. Really enjoyed those. Massive shout out to Andrew Franks, who lent me those figures to unbox on an episode. But obviously I had to hand them back after I played with them. But they are really nice. And I have the first wave, and I'm really into the first wave. And I have Flint, and I really like Flint. But in terms of like a completist on this line, not a sausage. It's just like, it's just crazy. And they have, I mean, again, if I was able to, I would 100% be getting all of these. Imagine if this league had been Ninja Force Artan in exactly past the pierogi. Imagine that. Imagine how incredible a Ninja Force Zartan would be in the Ultimates line, in an almost, if he was in the cartoon. Because I don't think we got Ninja Force Zartan in Deke, did we? Or have I made an absolute blunder there? I don't remember Ninja Force Zartan in Deke, but I could just be having an absolute nightmare. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because we had things like, I mean, we had blooming Sonic Fighters Road Pig, and we had all the other Ninja Force. No, I don't think he was. I genuinely don't think he was. Ah, there we go. I have to say, I really don't think he was in the... No, he wasn't. I had that thing where I was like, no, I'm pretty sure of that. I'm pretty confident, having seen it all. But no, he was definitely not in it. And with that, I would suggest it would have been a really nice thing to do, because they've done it before with Reaction. They've done it with a couple of other figures where it's like, yeah, we know they're not in the cartoon, but hey, this is what they could have been, what it could have been like. And then you on the little file card on the back, you have them repainted or like redone in different deco over their Sunbow artwork. Jamie says, almost prefer not color change, as it does affect the skin color and it looks a little off due to the gimmick. It kind of looks a little bit fake, doesn't it? The kind of stand, like this actual skin tone before it changes color. It's like almost a little kind of transparentish, isn't it? Paisano says, for the same price, I'm considering the executive replicas La Muerta. Anyone have any experience with those figures? I can't help you on that one, I'm afraid, Paisano, but I'm sure someone in the chat might be able to. The current release already color changes. I'm absolutely aware of that, and I know, and that's what I was saying about the other one change. I think they all should. If you're a Zartan figure, you should color change, because you know he would in real life. So that was what all I was getting at. I know the way for color changes, but if you were like, not if you didn't get that one, and like this is one that you could get a Zartan figure because it's, you know, it's a SDCC exclusive, and this is an opportunity for you to get a Zartan figure if you missed out or didn't want the Wave 4 one. If it didn't color change, it'd be a little bit sad, wouldn't it? 0% in on Ultimates, 90 in on Classified. Where's the 10%, Paisano? Aside from the cost, I just can't handle the mental bandwidth of collecting multiple G.I. Joe lines, and I'm also focusing on other lines besides G.I. Joe, says Ryan. Imagine if this... Yeah, done that one. Sorry, Pass. I wish we could get playsets with alternate gear in Classified. I want this disguise and gear in Classified. Yeah, it's like they steer away from Sunbow stuff. I mean, I know we've got the Fudgy Bar with Quick Kick, but it's slightly different, isn't it? It kind of feels like that could be with any kind of release base. I know it's Sunbow related, but I get what you're saying though, Christy. It would be fun to have Zartan have more than one disguise. And his disguises are pretty poor. They're just masks at the end of the day. He still looks like Zartan with just a mask on. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one. I want more disguises for Zartan. Just can't afford the line. Love the aesthetic. I'll support O-Ring from them for sure. Says, yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of in that boat, aren't they? No Zartan and Deke. Thank you, Phantomus Ragnarok. I was almost certain. It's just that moment when you're sitting online and you're going, oh, have I said something that I can't back up? But no, I thought I was right. Just hoping they have the ball joint next as pasta pierogi. Not a clue. Like a madman, I've collected 5 different scales of Joe figures. RKW, I know how you feel. I had to stop, though. I was getting like the 3-0 figures. I was getting Mezco figures. I was getting Super 7 at multiple scales and classified. And it just got to the point of just, you know, just like, what the hell is going on here? I think that the Super 7 Ultimates look cool, but the price is high and the articulation isn't good as classified, says the Real Zim. Isn't as good as classified, I should say, sorry. Paisano says, color change is the hill Chris will die on. Yes, I that'd be weird, wouldn't it? A color-changing hill that I die on. I could deal with that. He should, if only because he color changes in the episode Jungle Trap. Exactly, Ryan. Yeah, he does color change in Jungle Trap. And a smirking head. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, if we go back, there is a smirking head there on the far top right. You can see him, like, just giving that, like, little smirk. And you're right, that is one that we didn't get with the first Zartan. So it's almost, it might be worth it just getting the head that Zartan is most known for. A little smirky git. A Black Series Jedi cloak would work. Yeah, it would. You're right, Paisano, actually. That's a good point. For classified, you mean, yeah. I wonder if Super 7 didn't do the line, if Hasbro would do something like animated Spider-Man and X-Men figures, but for Joe. They probably wouldn't if Hasbro were doing something very Sunbow related, but they haven't really touched that. They haven't even touched it in the... you got like sort of redecoed vintage O-ring figures in Duke and Cobra Commander, but and the Cobra Trooper with the knee pads and everything, but like seriously... They hardly really ventured in the Sunbow direction, which I still don't understand. Like, I do understand why Super 7 took it on and where the direction why they went the way they went with it. Like focusing on the cartoon, squeezing in a few comic references, a lot of foreign stuff, a lot of foreign releases. I get that. It's great. It's like all the deep cuts, all the nods, all of the kind of collector based things. But I'm very surprised Hasbro have never really grasped doing something like that. I mean, how long did it take to get cartoon-related Dungeons & Dragons figures? And they didn't really knock that out of the park, did they, Hasbro? Super 7 now back on that again. Yes, Ryan, Once a Man Cobra Commander is Sunbow, but it's not going to be the animated model, is it? It's going to be very much classified up, is what I'm getting at. They take aspects from the cartoon. Well, they have to take aspects from the cartoon because a lot of the characters are known for it. But what I mean is they haven't grasped the Sunbow like Super 7 have. Super 7 has just gone like straight in. Do you know what I mean? Do I know that for sure? Do I know what for sure? What did I say? Just coming on, just the cloak and the snake basket is new. No, the cloak, the snake basket, the little kind of cobra tiara, and one of the heads is new as well. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 items. The flute as well is an item that's new. So one new smirking head, one sort of like cobra head band sort of thing, the flute, the snake basket with the camera, and the cloak. So it's 5 new things, basically. Do I know what for sure? What did I say, Ryan? Do you know for sure Once Man Cobra Commander won't be based on the movie? No, what I'm getting at is they're not going to be doing... All right, if one came out for Ultimates, it wouldn't be the same as the classified figure. Just like this Zartan ain't the same as that Zartan. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be more... There's going to be, like, more depth and detail, and the deco will be slightly different, and the look will be ever so slightly different. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not going to be the animation model that Super 7 would create. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not going to be taken off the cat off literally off the screen like Super 7 would do it. It will be classified in much the same way that they've done pretty much everything so far. Even Retro Duke and Scarlet are like classified to a degree. There's not, you know, it's not like you're not looking at the cartoon when you look at those two new classified figures. I'm confused. I'm not going to keep going on about it because I've already said what I said, and I don't mind being questioned about it. So like, all I'll say on this one is that I think it was a bit of an underwhelming scenario, that for sure, you know, especially having like literally the figure and then, you know, it's the same figure again, basically. But I felt that way when Classified brought out like six Zartans. I was like, I certainly didn't need a retro Zartan. I bought the retro Zartan, but I didn't need it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was looking at that kind of like, I mean, all three of them are different, but not different enough. It's almost like there's a character Zartan that you could probably get right once, and you don't need to do it like 1,000 times. I think I'd have been perfectly happy with Zartan being like the one deluxe version. And then when that got really difficult to get hold of, just one other version would have been fine. And then that's where you go into like Ninja Force and other things like that, which I think would be is definitely the way forward. I don't think constantly. I mean, I like Zartan's cool and all. I mean, do we have Zartan only collectors in the chat? Do we have like in the same way that I know a lot of you guys love one kind of character, do we have like Zartan fiends in here who need everything Zartan? Because I personally, when we got that retro Zartan, I was genuinely like, do we need this? The Master of Disguise Classified one is great, and it's got like everything thrown. They threw everything at it. You got the color change. You've got like all of the gear, like 50 times over. Super chat Zartan, probably. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, actual Zartan who often super chats the show every now and again. Yeah. Anyway, I would say that I'm surprised that I'll tell you what, I'll still say it. I'm surprised Hasbro never did the Sunbow thing properly. They never did like a full on Sunbow infused sort of like bunch of releases. It's always been the odd deco here or there. It's, you know, it's always been stuff like that. It's never been like, it's never been a thing of like, let's just go full Sunbow and do something really fun and different and crazy. Because that's effectively what I think Hasbro could have done this. They could have done not even like Ultimates in terms of scale and stuff, but they could have done cartoon related, direct like animation model accurate cartoon figures. And I think they would have done really well, but it never really happened. Like I said, you get them where they touch on it here and there. You'll get like a deco homage, or you'll get like a, I don't know, you'll just get things like that, or like one element will be popped in there, but you never get like a full on, let's go balls to the wall, crazy pants. And like, I still think, you know, the whole VHS, man, I tell you what, X-Men 97, let's talk about that for a second, because that's been blowing my mind. I've loved that cartoon. I don't know what you guys think about it, but I have been loving X-Men 97. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal. And that, like, episode 5, oh my goodness, no spoilers, but I was legitimately like this the whole way through. Like, I found myself at one point with my mouth open. And I often find myself actually with my mouth open. But like, it's great. And I look at that and I go, why can't we have a continuation of the Sunbow series in the same way? I wonder, I'm just going to put this out here. I wonder if X-Men 97 has, I mean, I don't know how successful it has been. I think it looks great. I've loved it. It's been phenomenal, I think. And I know, heartbroken over episode 5, like, seriously. I don't know. I think like, if they look at that and go, okay, yeah, X-Men 97 have done really well, maybe we should do a continuation of the Sunbow cartoon. And I know it's different. I know the Sunbow is a little bit more tongue-in-cheek. It's a little bit more goofy. It's a little bit more kind of silly. But come on. I mean, a decent, a brilliant cartoon is a brilliant cartoon no matter what. And I know people have got like, you know, they're a bit on, you know, some people are like, you're either one or the other with Sumbo, aren't you? Either love it or hate it, I guess. But I don't know. I just feel like it's got some absolute, it's got some legs, I think. And especially how successful the IDW Saturday morning comic or Saturday morning adventures was. That was great. And I just wanted, I'd have been happy with that kind of continuation of the comic. And no, it didn't happen. And we're probably not going to get it for Skybound because they're doing their own thing with everything. So they're probably not going to venture into that, which is, that's even more heartbreaking to me. So why don't they just go, let's do the cartoon because people are buzzing over this stuff. Let's get the cartoon done. I just think carry on after the movie and do like, you know, almost, I know the Deke still has its place, but it could all, you know, you could always kind of like put it to the side a little bit and go, right, we're continuing from the film and we're going to do G.I. Joe, Sunbo, and just keep that fire, keep that vibe and just drive it all the way to the bank. Because I think you could do some crazy cool stuff. You could incorporate, you know, like you could think about when it would have been in the timeline. You could have incorporated new characters at the right moments, like their versions and their different, like, you know, mission-based gear or what have you. That would just be sick. I don't need like all the adult stuff. Give me like a fun X-Men 97, which again is actually quite, you know, it's like highbrow kids cartoon, isn't it? X-Men. But like, you know, with Joe, like, I just give me that goofy, fun, crazy stories, brilliant voice acting. Just give us that, please. I would go absolutely nuts for this, a continuation of the Sumbo series. Absolutely nuts. And like I said, I'm just so surprised they've never really ventured into that. It's like, well, that's been the past. We'll leave that there and let's do all this kind of like half doing something new, but still sticking to the old each time. Do you know what I mean? Like never really developing it to the point where it's going to, you know, evolve. So if you're not going to do that, go back to where it was really frigging great and do an X-Men 97, but for Joe, it would be so good. So good. Just Sunbo, carry on from the movie. Get Cobra La back into it again, like towards the end of the series. That'd be the big twist and reveal it's not dead. They're still like, you know, they're underground or whatever, or, you know, where's Globulus since he like fritted away, and where's like, where is everybody basically? It would be so cool. I just think it would be great. That's the thing. I still watch the Sumbo cartoon as well, Paisano. I still put it on. G.I. Joe 87 and 88. Yeah, exactly. G.I. Joe 87 would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Yeah. KevJewel 100 says, perhaps down the road when Classified winds down, Hasbro might venture into Sunbo. I just think you do it now and you do the same thing that they're doing with X-Men 97 with the toys. You just incorporate it into Classified. So Classified's the hot ticket. Bring the cartoon out and then have cartoon related releases. They get to do the same characters again. They get to, you know, get your Snake Eyes out, get your, you know, get all those figures out again and, you know, do new things with a little VHS kind of box sort of vibe. I just think it's so obvious to me. I feel like it's so obvious. It just needs to happen. I just feel like, am I wrong in thinking that this is, it just seems to be like an absolute home run in the making. And I've wanted this forever. I've talked about having a continuation of the Sumbo series, probably since the Deke series. Anyway, that is kind of where I fall on it at the moment. Shelf Presence says, kids today want a more highbrow show. If it's corny, it won't play. It won't be for kids, Shelf Presence. This wouldn't be for kids, would it? It would be for us, 100%. I doubt, like, I mean, I'm sure kids are watching X-Men 97, but not like us, but not like we are. You know, like, we're watching that with that like vibe going, I love this, I know this, this is amazing, and it's really good. Like it's this, it's for us. Ain't like nothing's, I mean, there's no point developing stuff for kids at this point, because there's just no way. Like things have just changed so dramatically since we were children, so dramatically that it's a different landscape as a kid. And also, like, you have to kind of skew super young for kids to be into toys at the moment. It feels like that anyway, from like a lot of people I know who have kids, a lot of things I've seen online, a lot of people who talk about this, who blog about it when they've got kids and all that kind of jazz. Like there is definitely a difference, a different kind of vibe of how they interact with their environment. And like, you know, when I was a kid, God, I hate saying that, but like, you know, when I was a nipper, when I was a little kid, a little lad, I was so into toys. Like it was toys and cartoons, and that was pretty much it. Toys and VHS, and I was happy. Then it kind of got into like sports, and I wanted to play lots of sports, but I was still into toys and sports. So I had the special core poster on my wall, but also had Manchester United posters on my wall. And then, you know, then there's the other phase where you start noticing things happening on your body. And then, like, I was still collecting toys up until 94? And then I was ritualistically embarrassed in front of hundreds of kids by a friend of mine called Matt, who... I still haven't forgiven him for this, but we, you know how you get like the mobile sort of like school classrooms, when you've got like a school building and then there's a mobile because they can't afford to build more of the school, so they just set up like these kind of like portable sort of, you know what I'm talking about, like a mobile it's like a chalet on sticks, basically. Anyway, we would go into that and we'd have our session in there, whatever it was. And we were lined up to go into that room one morning, you know, whatever it was. Matt was at the front of that kind of line talking to this is like our first week at school. This is our first week at high school. And it's different for us. We would have been, 12, 13 years old. I was 11 when I went. Actually, I would have been 11. So it would have been like 91, 92 time, right? And he was at the front of this line talking to two girls in the front of the queue, Claire and Vicky. And I hadn't met them yet. Like we were, this is what that thing where you're kind of brought into the school, like in different, like, you know, because it's a high school, you're from different areas. Some people from nearby. We were from a town like quite a distance, like, you know, about half an hour's drive away. But there were a lot of kind of local kids, you know, that went to this high school as well. So we all go in there and we're all just kind of forced to get on with everyone, like to like instantly, like, you know, make friends with people we'd never met before. It was weird. I only knew like one other person in my class, in my kind of like form group. And then you would kind of be split up anyway. Anyway, Matt was at the front of that queue and I was kind of quite far back. And Matt is talking to Claire and Vicky. And he points at me and he goes, "All right, Chris." And then he says out loud, "Chris still collects toys. He's still got G.I. Joes." And I was just like, "Why? Why would you destroy me like that in front and all, like, you know, everyone's laughing." And I'm just like, "Oh, thanks, Matt." And again, like I had a thing for Claire, and that's past, obviously, but and I was like, "Oh God, that," you know, like my heart sank. It's like just torn out of my chest. I'm like, "Oh my God." So he goes and embarrasses me in front of the entire, it was like, well, the entire school, it was just an entire group that were going into this music. It was a music session as well. So I'm just like, "Oh, mate." Anyway, never forgave him for that. It gets better, this story. So I, even though that had happened, I still hadn't changed my room. My room was like the room of a five-year-old's, and I was like, 11, 12, et cetera, whatever. And it was the summer, that first year at high school. Now the summer. So we've had that first year at high school. I got through it okay. I didn't have to, you know, it didn't really come up again, the whole G.I. Joe thing. Anyway, if you were to see my bedroom in this summer of, like, what was it, 92, let's say, you would have seen, like, G.I. Joe vehicles on my windowsill, including a Sky Striker that, for some reason, I was an idiot and had left on the windowsill for many years. So it completely changed into that kind of, like, tan color that it goes when you leave it in the sun for too long. You'd have seen, again, like, Manchester United posters all over my walls. You'd have seen, I had lots of toy dinosaurs, including Jurassic Park dinosaurs, on my cabin bed. Still had my cabin bed with on the little desk part of my cabin bed, and you know, stickers on it and stuff. It was a child's bedroom, right? It was ridiculous, and I was still rocking that going into 92. Anyhow, I say that because Claire and Vicky, who Matt had been talking to at the front of that queue, decided one day that they were going to have a bike ride to Munsley. Now, where I lived in Munsley, there was, like, this beautiful beach. It was, like, it's gorgeous. It's a really cute little village on the coast in Norfolk in England. Absolutely stunning. There's a gun emplacement, like a barracks that's on the cliff face that sits on the top. And as kids, we would, like, play all over it. I mean, this thing was, like, mental. Like, it's a huge concrete building, basically, that's been abandoned, and it was open for the longest time. Like, you go inside it, but it was all, like, dingy and gross, and when it rained it would flood, and it was kind of, like, a bit dangerous. And, like, I think loads of we didn't really have a homeless problem there, but I think lots of people did drugs there. There was a bit of a, you know, homeless situation where people would kind of, like, sleep in there and stuff like that. It was a bit messed up, so the council had to block them up. They had to kind of, like, you know, brick the entrances up so people can get inside. So anyway, like, we would jump off the cliff, and also it was crazy. And we're talking, like, hundreds and hundreds of feet drop to the beach. Like, it is phenomenal view on this thing. Anyway, we would play on that all the time. Anyway, Munsley's great, and growing up there was fun as a little kid as well. Like, it was just it was a very adventurous time. And anyway, they decided, Claire and Vicky, to go on a bike ride from where they were living at the time, which was North Walsham, to Munsley. Now, they thought they'd pop it. Like, this is before the time of mobile phones, of Google Maps, of MapQuest even. Like, there was none of that. They found my house. I guess, like, someone must have given them the address, because I don't recall giving them the address to my house, but they found it all right. And I was out at the time. I think I might have been at Matt's. Matt's or Riz's, who's across the road from me, Sean Risley. And I remember coming back home, seeing two bikes just kind of, like, laid down on the front on the grass in front of our house. Because you could do that as well when back then. You could just leave your bike wherever and it wouldn't get stolen. Because you were in a town, a village of about, like, 300 people that knew everyone. So it wasn't like you could get away with being a criminal. So anyway, I'm like, whose bikes are they? Thinking it was, like, you know, maybe a couple of other kids from down the street. So I get in, and Claire and Vicky are upstairs in my bedroom. My mum says, two girls have come for you. It's Claire and Vicky, they're upstairs. I'm like, my heart sank. I was like, oh my God. I go upstairs and they are, like, messing around with all my toys and my stuff, and they're, like, giggling and laughing and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, how this couldn't be, like, it couldn't be a more cringy, like, awkward, what the hell am I going to do? Right. You know, like, it was beyond. Oh, telephone book. Yes. RKW. It could have been that, actually. It could have been that, or Matt could have told them where I lived as well. I could have told them. I just forgot. Like, I can't remember what the situation was. I might have known that they were going to do a bike ride and might have given them my address, but I can't remember doing that. But it's very likely that could have happened. Anyway, it was that moment, and they were fine. Actually, they were fine with it. They were really nice. Actually, Claire and Vicky are great. I'm still friends with them to this day. But, like, it was the fact that, you know, as a kid, it is just, like, absolutely mortifying. That you're like, you especially, I didn't plan it. I didn't like want my room was in the process of being like, I was definitely upgrading and I was definitely getting a different bed and changing things and all that kind of stuff. But that was that moment when it was like, right, I guess I'm doing it now. I guess I'm doing it as soon as they've gone after I cried. That's when I'll change everything. But anyway, we ended up, I think I kind of coaxed them out of the house and we ended up kind of hanging out like on the beach or whatever. But like, it was one of those things where I was just absolutely mortified. And yeah, they had jokes and they were poking fun and stuff like that, but they were really cool. And it wasn't like a, you know, it was just how I felt at the time. Certainly not how they were really feeling about it. I mean, they're still kids themselves, and they were also enjoying playing with the toys that were in there as well. So anyway, it was hilarious. Oh my God. Anyway, so that was the only reason I said that is because that was the different time and how we op and how, like, as a kid, like, I was all about toys even up to like that period. And even though I put everything away at that point, I remember putting my Joes in like a bunch of different boxes and kind of tucking them into the back of the kind of closet and everything that I had, closed that. And then I took all the posters off the wall that I had. I got a new bed shortly afterwards, just a regular one, not a cabin bed. And that's when I think I got the upgraded to like whatever it was, the game system at that point. And that's what took over. But again, like, I was still interested in toys because I would go into stores like Woolworths and I'd go into places like Langley's and Toy Master and all those kind of toy places, Toys R Us as well, whenever I got the opportunity. But it just wasn't an opportunity for that until it was much later on in years, near me anyway. And so I would, like, you know, I'd sneak a little look every now and again at what kind of toys were out there. And I would, you know, I was still collecting Joes up until, I want to say, 93, 94. But then it was kind of like I stopped. And I'm not sure if I stopped because it just didn't seem to be about anymore. And it had actually kind of stopped being sold. But I remember going into Woolworths for years afterwards and seeing the 90s Action Man displayed, like the Hall of Fame kind of Joes and stuff like that, and just being like, oh, these are cool. And, you know, I did actually have, I was actually still collecting at the time when the Hall of Fame stuff was out. But yeah, and then there's that period where, you know, it's like from that point onwards, like 94 until, oh God, because I missed a lot. I missed all of that kind of like mid to late 90s sort of revival. I missed like all of the Extremes and the Savages and the Sigma Sixes. Sigma Six was actually just about where I kind of came back into it again. And that was because I was working in New Jersey at a summer camp as a counselor at the time. And I remember we'd have days off to New York, and we did a New York trip, a bunch of us on our day off. And we went to the Toys R Us, Manhattan Toys R Us. And I just loved it. And I remember going in there and seeing Sigma Six and all sorts of other stuff too. Like there was a whole like huge segment on the huge like display they had for G.I. Joe at the time. It was phenomenal. Like you had the Jurassic Park, so, well, the big dinosaur, like the T-Rex in the corner. Then you had like the G.I. Joe wall with like the car busting through, or the Jeep busting through, and then the parachute, full-size parachutists coming out of the ceiling. And then you had the Transformers section in front of that with an Optimus Prime. And then you had, what was it like, Superman stopping a truck coming through the ceiling as well. It was really cool. Like, it was an amazing place. And the Ferris wheel was freaking mental. It was a real fun experience going to that Toys R Us in New York. And I was really sad when it got shut down as well. I've missed a bunch of comments. Sorry. I would have befriended you after knowing that. I like that, Stygian. Thank you. Nowadays, it would have gone global, Chris. It probably would have done. That would have been like a video that got posted to X. And I look at this absolute loser getting like, you know, owned by, yeah, whatever. Look at his room. It's like a kid's room. Then I walk in and I'm all like, yeah, it would have been extraordinarily viral, I think. I have Joe in my classroom now, says Stanley. That's awesome. Shout out to Vicky and Claire, indeed. People are ridiculous. Who hobby shames people? Well, Matt was doing it because I think he was trying to get... He was just trying to look good in front of people, and he was using me as a conduit to that. I don't really hold it against him. It's again, it's one of those things that it's made for a fun little story after the fact. And what he was doing is he was warning me, and he was saying, Chris, you better change your ways because they might come round on a bike ride one of these days, knowing fully well that he probably planned the whole thing. In high school, they were hot boxes. Oh, they really were, weren't they? Thankfully, we're in the UK where it was just raining all the time, most of the time. Portables. Yeah, effectively, that's exactly what they were. Those big portable buildings that you would have a class in. Yeah. Like a manufactured home. Yeah. Kids now don't like toys at all. My kid is 10 and wants nothing to do with toys, just video games and Harry Potter books, movies. Yeah. Again, like, It seems to vary. I know a lot of guys who, you know, they swear down their kids love their G.I. Joe collection. And I get it. Like, I understand it, because I'd be the same if I was a kid. But I think there's a lot of pressure on kids, in much the same way I've just explained that pressure I had going into high school. I think, obviously, it was a little bit later in you know, my kind of childhood. When you get to high school, there is a certain element of growing up that has to be done, whether you are emotionally ready for that or not. You know, that you do have to, you're sort of forced a little bit to mature very quickly when you get into that situation. Because all of a sudden, it's not like, you know, you're not getting picked up by your folks anymore. It's like you're getting on the bus and you're doing it your own way. Or I wasn't driving at 11 years old. But like, there's an element of that kind of, things are kind of getting a little bit more serious now. And I feel like now that has gotten younger for kids because of the way that, you know, phones and all that kind of stuff, kind of like the internet in general, has kind of made it almost impossible for like a kid to, I mean, when you look at like the stats of like, you know, anxiety and depression in children and kids like that, it's quite insane. And I understand 100%. Because I look at that situation that they're in sometimes, and I go, I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with like, and I'm sure it's not every school, and certainly not in the UK. But I hate looking at X, because for some reason it pushes like this these horrible videos on there for some reason. I don't want to see fight videos from like a school where a student's beating a teacher up. I don't want to see it. But unfortunately, it's like that's all it seems to be on X at the moment. And again, like I'm trying to follow, like, you know, toy people and all this kind of stuff, and I just can't see any of that because of just the feed is full. I mean, X has gone down the toilet anyway since obviously it was taken over. But like, it's got to the point now where I don't want to see all that stuff. And I look at that and I go, my goodness, it looks like. And again, this is because I just keep getting pushed this stuff. It looks like an absolute war zone in schools. And I know it's not every school, and I know it's not certainly not every school in the UK. And most of the stuff I'm seeing is like high schools in the US and stuff like that. But then I think, God, think about high schools in the US. And then you add you've got anxiety, depression, all that kind of stuff, you know, from, you know, things on the internet, people filming everything and, you know, acting up in sessions and stuff. And then you add that layer of, oh yeah, and kids get shot in school all the time, and it's just like, oh my God, I couldn't do it. Like, I could not do it. And I was one of those kids when I was growing up, I really wanted to go to high school in the US. I thought I'd have an edge by being British, but I really wanted, and I wanted to like play on the basketball team and all that kind of stuff. And I really wanted that to happen, but it never materialized. And now I couldn't think of anything I would want to do less than go to a high school as a kid in the United States. I just would find it horrible. I think horrible experience. Christopher Moody says, "Ah, luck! They'd continue from the Deke series." The media seem to be more interested in 30-year-olds who were kids in the 90s and 40-year-olds who were kids in the 80s. There's definitely, we definitely had our 80s nostalgia sort of period, didn't we, Christopher, about 10 years ago? And I feel like the 80s nostalgia has actually been kicking around since it turned 1990. I feel like the 80s has been this, it's always been looked at as this kind of like period of time, like a very specific period of time from 1980 to 1989. It's like this, it is just its own thing. And much like the 90s, I would say too. And then it gets a little bit foggier when you get into the 2000s, doesn't it? Because it's like 2000 to 2010, almost like they call it the 2010s, and then the 2020s. And now we're, I suppose we're still in the 2020s, of course, duh. But like, you know, I feel like it's harder to determine style and stuff like that in the periods of time that don't have very clear stylistic, you know, properties. Whereas 80s, 90s, even the 70s and the 60s and the 50s, everything seems to be very decade based, very clearly defined decade based. And then you get to the 2000s, it's just like it's a free for all. Everything happens now. And most of it, we're looking back at the 80s. Kids don't like toys at all. My kid is 10 and wants nothing to do with toys. I think I read that one. Sorry, FC Viper. I scrolled up to check some messages, and now I'm scrolling down again to make sure I haven't missed any more. Then they gave you a mega swirly. That would have been hilarious, wouldn't it? I pantsed a kid in front of a girl he liked in the lunchroom in sixth grade. That is effectively what Matt did to me, but from a distance and without the pants part. Did Matt tell the girls you collected G.I. Joe or International here? He didn't go into the specifics, Paisano, but I should have stopped him and said, actually, Matthew, I collect Action Force International Heroes and some G.I. Joe figures. If you'd cast your minds back to when that would have made it better, wouldn't it? Tiger Force Sky Striker colours. I meant the jet, not the pilot. Hell yeah. I'm up for that. I'm up for, I'm up for a Tiger Force Sky Striker, the full one, not Sky Striker, the Tiger Force figure. My God, that's confusing, isn't it? I bet they had Care Bears. They might have done. I also had one Care Bear, but it was one of the little ones, you know, the little kind of minifigure ones. Which one did I have now? It was the Bedtime Bear, I think. Was it the four-leaf clover one? The green one? Can't remember now. It's been so long. But I really wanted all of them and I could never find them anywhere. It is nice to see the classified design showing up in the current Joe comics. Duke issue 4 had some great cameos. Definitely shelf presence. Have you read Cobra Commander issue 4? Oh my goodness. 87 was my last year of collecting. I immediately discovered Iron Maiden and my world changed, says Kev Jewell. Yeah, that's another thing, I guess. There's that thing of like when you find something, it kind of changes you a little bit too, doesn't it? Music was definitely a part of that. I remember getting like, because I mean, I've always listened to music my entire life, but like, again, certain periods, certain, you know, things happen, like getting your car and getting a sound system for it, or getting like a big CD player for your bedroom or whatever with some big speakers and just being like, oh my God. I remember having, it was a mini disc on top, CD rack, multi-CD player, radio, and you could try and mess with all the EQ and everything on it as well. You could change all of the treble and the bass and that kind of jazz. And a tape deck at the bottom. It was a wicked, proper big Sony one. And two big old speakers with it as well. Loved it. Remember to hit that like button. Thank you, FC Viper. I bet you Matt doesn't have 5,000 subscribers. He might do, actually. I'll have to ask him. His kid probably has 3 million or something, doesn't he? That's probably what's happened. Wilfredo, I used to go to the Times Square Toys R Us. It was awesome. It was so good, man. I loved that Toys R Us with a passion. And I was so sad that they ended. Well, didn't they reopen it again? I feel like it's kind of closed and then reopened again. But I could be wrong on the reopening thing. Instagram is better than X. It certainly is. And that's why I find myself on Instagram more than I, and well, Instagram, I don't really use Facebook as a personal tool anymore. Everything's just used for the, everything's just for the show now. I very rarely use my personal, you know, accounts for really anything other than, you know, like Facebook Messenger and things like that. But yeah, in terms of all the other social networks, it's all about the Full Force podcast. Thanks, Elon. Indeed, Jeremy. Yeah. The reality is you would have been bullied for being different British. Probably, but I'm hard. I could have taken it. Being bullied sucks. It's one of the reasons why I've been lifting for over 30 years. Real Zim, yeah. I definitely wasn't bullied. There were moments, though, that I remember of, you know, like older kids maybe kind of like, I don't know, just testing it a little bit. I remember one kid grabbed my, we were on the back of the bus, and I was one of the, I'm very outgoing and I will try and make friends with everybody. So that's how, that was my way of trying to avoid that. It was just be friendly with everyone. It doesn't always work, but that seemed to get me by in high school. Just be friendly, be nice, be polite, be good to everybody, right? And then you shouldn't have an issue. I remember one specific time, though, you got the older kids on the back seat of the bus, and I was sitting next to one of my friends on the seat just in front of the back seat. So all of like the older kids are, you know, taking up the back five seats because that was the thing to do back then. And then when that generation part moved on, you would then become the backseat people. And I remember I was drinking like a can of something like Coke or something like that. And I remember one of the guys in the backseat grabbed my arm, pulled it behind the chair and was like pushing it up, like, you know, like almost like, you know, just about to break my arm. So I remember I had the can of Coke and I just threw it over him and he let go. And it was just like, there was two of his mates had to hold him back a little bit, but there was a bit of a kerfuffle, and they were like, well, that's what you get when you, you know, you try and break some kid's arm sort of thing. And then that following weekend, we were playing football or soccer, on Gold Park. And the guy that had done that, I will not name names because I actually am friends with him again now. This was just one of the, like I said, it was a moment. And he was like looking for me basically. And he jumps over the fence. He comes running over and he's like about to, like, you know, punch me in the face, whatever. And guess who appears in this story, guys? Yes, it's Matt, famous Matt from the front of the queue who embarrassed me in front of many, many people, saved my life that day by, because he was hard, isn't it? This is another thing. Matt was my age, but he was hard as nails. One of the hardest people I've ever met in my life. You'd never mess with him. Like, I've seen him do things. I've seen him a fight started. There's about three people on him and he knocked all of them out one after the other. And they were not like, you know, I'd have struggled to even protect myself. I'd just been laying down, getting my head kicked in. But I saw him just go one, two, and then there's a bit of a scuffle, and then three, and it was like that. It was over in minutes. Anyway, he dives in because we're playing football together, the bunch of us, but Matt's involved, and he kind of literally jumped on this guy, and they got in a fight, and then we're all trying to split it up and calm everyone down, and then that's where I tried to kind of play tried to be Switzerland and tried to calm everyone down and speak to this guy who'd done this originally. And tried to, you know, and everything was chill after that. And it turned out that he had gone home covered in Coke, obviously, but the, you know, Coca-Cola, and his mom had had a go at him. And, you know, like a, you know, it obviously wasn't the best environment, shall I say. Again, I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to put anyone, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus on this one. But, like, clearly he did have a difficult home life. And I understood that, and I apologized for doing what I did, even though he was twisting my arm around the back of the chair. But there was that thing of, like, you know, it was fixed, it was sorted, and there wasn't an issue anymore. And going from that point onwards, I've been friends with him, ever since. And we were friends before that. This is the that's the weird thing. Like, you know, I say friends. We knew I knew him and he knew me and we were cool. It wasn't like, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like we were buddies and we'd hang out together. They were older kids anyway. They were like 2 years older than us, I think, at that stage. And anyway, yeah, it was interesting. This episode has gone on such a random tangent, hasn't it? A rangent, I'll say. But at least you're getting more information about my life, I guess. Being in high school for the past 25 years, stories evolutionary, I won't retell. Totally, Stan. Wilfredo says, those issues you brought up are why I want my daughter to live in Germany and not in the USA, safer over there than here. Yeah, I get that. Oh my goodness, Stygian, can I read this out? My best friend told the whole school I pleasured oneself while imagining a girl I really liked. The whole school knew, the whole school. Wow. Wow. I can just imagine how embarrassing that would be. Seriously. Wow. FC Viper says, I have 8K followers on Twitter. I made so many friends there, but I rarely visit it anymore because all I saw was, yeah, agreed. It is true though. Like I've got it's one of our like most successful social platforms as well, which is funny. I think we've got, let me see. Yeah, we've got like 4.5K. So not as good as YouTube now that we've got 5K. But it's definitely one of those ones where I don't want to just drop it. You know what I mean? I don't want to just kind of go like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to get rid of it. Because, I don't know, I just feel like a lot of work has gone into building a decent audience. And again, it's people that like I interact with on there. But the other thing is I don't want to see all the feed. It's just garbage. And you can't even blimmin' fix it. Like I've deleted, tried to say I don't want to see videos like this anymore or whatever. No, you really just have to pay for it if you want something workable, I think. And even then you probably don't. I can imagine, Stygian. I feel so bad for you on that one. Stanley says, I share my toy fandom with my students often. Some fandoms overlaps, but not Joe's at the moment. I remember the closest thing I came to that was I was a teacher at a music college, Access to Music, and I would do multiple different sessions. I would do like composition and working with a digital audio workstation and stuff like that, producer stuff, all sorts of different things, all the way through to like, you know, performance and freelance music practitioner and things like that, where you're kind of like teaching them how to operate in different areas of the music industry that aren't just, you know, making music and selling it. Just kind of like working as as a freelance artist or working in a studio or whatever, just doing things like that, basically, right? So one of the sessions we had was a composition session, and I remember bringing a ton, like the session that day, I come up with this idea, bringing a comic box in, huge comic book box, loads of random issues of anything, all sorts of different stuff. And I put it at the front of the class. In fact, I brought a couple of boxes in, opened them up, and just kind of spread a few out, like, you know, kind of X-Men and G.I. Joe and all sorts of different things. And the whole point of the session, this is how cool my sessions were, they had to pick a comic and they had to write the score for that comic. So they read it and then they have to come up with, like, you know, what is kind of being... You know, what are the aesthetics giving you in a musical kind of way? Like, what are you kind of getting from it? And almost like using it as a storyboard for a film and creating a musical score for it. So like then they dug the crap out of that. And we did that a couple of times. One of the sessions was making music for computer games as well. That was a lot of fun because I would just bring in my Xbox and the session would be like, you know, playing games and then, but like for a reason, like listening to the music and working the music out and playing games from like 8-bit stuff on like, you know, like the little kind of vintage consoles all the way through to like, you know, ridiculous scores on like, you know, Call of Duty games and stuff like that. So I would go in, bring, and they'd love it. They'd be like, yeah, we're playing games and we're making music to computer games. And their whole like, one of their whole like core things of the curriculum was to make a piece of music or make a score for an entire game, and they bloody loved it. So did I, actually. They were fun sessions. I remember one kid did a really good, I got them to do just one little like 30 second clip of a game and put music to it, and then like we'd share our work and all that kind of stuff. And this one kid did Jungle Strike, you know, the helicopter going around, and but really old school. And he made the sound effects for the 30 second clip, and he did the music. Like, he went like full on for it, and it was so good. And he even did it like proper 8-bit, and I showed them how to do like how to create 8-bit music, kind of like sounds and effects on your instruments that you're kind of playing in, so you can do like distortion and throw some like 8-bit crunchy stuff on it and stuff like that, and then you can find like certain little keys and organs that kind of make sense for 8-bit music or 16-bit or whatever it might be. And they loved it, and he made an absolute banger. I'm trying to catch up on comments here. Sorry, guys. I was collecting Power of the Force 2 all through high school, very open about it, and my nerd, and was still one of the most popular kids in school. Nice one, Scott. Thankfully, even though everyone knew I collected toys, I was also one of the kind of main... I was probably the best basketball player in the school, I'm not going to lie. So I did have that as backup. I was, like, cool and nerdy at the same time, I guess. We called the school bus the cheese bus. Amazing. Is that because it's a massive bit of yellow cheese? I played three sports in high school, but I was also the biggest nerd. I always had comics and talking about Star Wars and Trek, especially in high school. Next Generation had just come out. God, yeah, I remember that. Nobody messed with me. That's good shelf presence. I'm glad. I never got bullied. That the only thing that really ever happened was that kind of twist of my arm in the back of the chair. And it was just a one silly thing that he decided he wanted to do that day. And there must have been something to it. We must have been having some sort of like banter or argument. I just remember what happened. I don't remember the actual like what had actually happened before that. So I might have been asking for it. That's the other thing. But anyway, So I was definitely not picked on. Plus, I hit a growth spurt when I was 14 as well. Not that it really helped in high school, because that would have been 11, 12. It was towards the end of high school, the last couple of years, I'd hit like 6 foot something or 6 foot. So I was a lot taller than everyone else at school. And yeah, I wasn't really getting a lot of that kind of stuff at that point. Yeah, always taller, so never bullied. But yeah, bullies suck. They hate their lives, so they take out on others. FC Viper. That's exactly what was kind of going on, yeah. It is a rando tando, Scott, isn't it? Did you guys all watch G.I. Joe and drink cola together after you made up? We should have done. That would have been hilarious, wouldn't it, Jeffrey? Got Claire, Vicky, Matt, this guy that did this, I'm not naming because I don't want to, you know, put it out there. Even though everything's cool now. I don't mind calling Matt out for embarrassing me, but I'm not going to call someone out for making a mistake, if you know what I mean. Steps Toy says, didn't I say yesterday Chris will wind up streaming something because of a leak? Genius equals me. Yes, Steps Toys, you did actually say that, but you didn't guess that I'd be talking like past an hour mark about my life growing up as a child, though, did you? Oh, middle school, yeah, absolute worst age to have your ego obliterated, Stygian. Yeah, with the old, yeah, crazy pants. Give me six random numbers, 1 to 59. For some reason, I figured you as a cricket player, Chris. No, I did enjoy playing cricket. The only time I really enjoyed playing cricket, though, was with my granddad, or I would call him my nan-dad. He loved cricket. And whenever we would go on like do like family kind of picnics or whatever, we'd go out and like, you know, go to the park or something. He'd bring the ball, the bat, and the stumps and everything. And we would play a little bit of cricket. He'd love it. And like, it's so funny. Like, even though, you know, when my mom and her sisters were younger, my aunties, when they were kids, he would not let up. Like, they would play cricket together and he would just be like smashing it for six. Like, they'd, you know, like not helping them, like, you know, win a game or anything like that. No, he was like totally on it. So I'm going to obliterate these kids. And he did the same to me. But no, he was wonderful, my nan dad. And he, like, he's another big reason as to why I am the way I am now. Like, my nandad, and I'm going to keep calling him a nandad, but no matter what people say, he had the most incredible model train set. It was unreal. And he built this thing himself. Like, he was a genius. He was great with, like, you know, carpentry. He was great with electronics. He was great with just delicate details, like dio building and everything. Like, he was one of the most genius, like, people I've ever met for that. Like, he could make anything, and it was phenomenal. And he had this most beautiful model train set. And again, like, he built it. I mean, I've got pictures of it. I might have posted them in the past when talking about him on my personal page anyway. But, like, I remember I took pictures of it before we had to kind of take it. The sad thing is we had to kind of take it apart, because when he passed away, the room that was housing it, like, had to be used as a it was basically a stable, like a stable room. It was huge, and he built this whole thing, and Dad and I had to go in we've still got every single thing about it. We delicately took it apart, but it was just heartbreaking, you know. Like, you can imagine as well, like, it was fairly soon after he passed away, but still it was emotional as hell. And as a kid, I would, like, go in that, you'd crawl underneath it, you go and open the door, and, like, it would literally be like a big, like, table around the entire room, and you'd crawl underneath to get inside, and you'd come up inside it, like, you'd stand up and it would be all around you. And it was massive, and it had, like, canals, and it had, like, you know, little roadways, and it had all the little stations with different stations that some he made up and some were real. And, like, he, you know, like, bridges and a farm, and he even had a military base, or a RAF base, that was kind of like an extra section on a shelf above in the corner that had loads of, like, you know, had a plane on the runway, had the guys kind of working on it. It had the little tower. It was amazing. And it was, like, you know, rolling hills and all this kind of stuff that he built himself. He'd made everything himself. It was phenomenal. And he had all of his model airplanes hanging from the ceiling. So you can imagine, growing up with this around me, and, you know, like, him loving, like, buying me toys, and him and Nan buying me toys and everything, and just, like, spoiling me rotten. So I blame them mainly for my kind of love of toys and collecting and all that kind of stuff. But it was absolutely insane. And he loved cricket. So I'd only really ever play it with him. But no, I played football, in like soccer in high school mainly, and basketball. Basketball was my main sport, but I love playing football as well. Like, I absolutely adored it. I played rugby a couple of times, but didn't really enjoy it as much for the school. And then basketball became my life at, like, 12 years old, 13 years old. Like, it was like, from that moment on, it was just basketball, nine hours a day, like, basketball every single day. It's like, up, basketball, sleep, up, basketball, sleep. It was crazy. And that went on for years as well. I ended up playing, like, semi-professionally for the Kings Lynn Fury. And we had some pretty cool games, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, that was an interesting time. I would get paid for, so the reason it was semi-professional was because we would get paid for coaching. So we would go out and coach, like, kids in the area. So my kind of, like, main job was playing basketball on a weekend game, then training three times a week. And in between all of those kind of bits and pieces, coaching kids in local schools. And so you'd end up getting paid for the coaching aspect, and then you get paid for training, and then you get paid for games and stuff like that. So it was really cool. And it was enough, like, to, you know, for me in that time anyway, to kind of live on. But then, you know, I kind of lost my love for it, honestly, because I wasn't getting a lot of money. It was minimum. It wasn't crazy good, but it was, you know, it was cool. I stopped playing in, I want to say, God, when was that? It would have been when. So I stopped playing competitively before I moved to Norwich. And that would have been about 2013, 14, maybe, I want to say. So the proper competitive play stopped actually probably earlier than that. May even have been about 2010, 2011. And then I started playing again for another team, but not competitively necessarily, just kind of training with them. And they were a decent team in Norwich. And but then like I got injured. That was it. Yeah. Oh my God. I messed my ankle up really badly. I went up for a jump shot, and as I was coming down, the guy who was coming out to defend me, he'd kind of like come forward as I was dropping down, and his foot was underneath my foot, and I literally landed on it, just went clink like that and snap. The noise was horrible. And I remember just being like, yep, that's done. And I went off to the side of the court, and the whole process, you tighten your sneaker up really tight to prevent the swelling. I know it sounds a bit odd, but that's what you do. And then you would need to get like rest, ice, compression, elevation is basically what you're supposed to do. And because of that, I'm sitting on the side with this little ice pack that someone had, because it was a pretty decent setup. So they had things just in case, you know, things like that happened. And I remember having my foot up and like the ice on it and everything. I'm like, right, I think I'm okay. Because I was about 30 minutes from home driving and had to get in the car and drive home with a frigged ankle, my right ankle as well. And then, yeah, go. Sorry, I've got another question come through. Is this new 3¾ line or 7/8? This is Ultimates, Paul. This is the SDCC Ultimates Zartan on the right hand side. It's got nothing to do with the O-ring. Sorry, I was on a tangent there, my fault. But anyway, buggered my ankle pretty badly and then ended up kind of not playing for like 9 months. I was out. I remember just not being able to like run or walk on it for the longest time. It was so bad. And I put on loads of weight. And then I was like, okay, I need to get back into it again. So then I remember kind of like playing a little bit for them again afterwards, but not much. And I haven't played competitively since. You know, pick up games sometimes, few and far between though. We call that the Bruce Bowen over here, Chris. Which one? What were we talking about, Steps Toys? I can't remember what I said. Coming up next, the college years. That'll be on the next stream. We'll do the college years. That was a fun time. I'm at that point right now with the same ankle, says Scott. Oh, that sucks. Steps Toys, I'm shocked, shocked, I say, that semi-pro basketball in the UK didn't pay anything. Shocked. Yeah. Like I said, it was enough to get by at the time. But yeah, it was funny because I remember this having the ever so slightest like example of being famous in the smallest possible way. We were going round. I was going around King's Lynn at the time because that's where I was playing basketball, and I was just going around like shopping, I think, with someone, like some friends or whatever. And we went into a Subway to get some lunch at the time, I think. And there was a poster on the wall in the back of the last game we played, I think, and like come to the Kingsland Fury versus whatever, you know, Brixton game next week or whatever. And the picture they chose was one of like a bunch of us like in the middle of a game, because they had a photographer there as well a lot of the time. And then there's me laying it up, just like Jordan, like floating through the air kind of thing. I'm like, I didn't know they were using that picture. I didn't know that picture existed until I saw it on a poster in a Subway. And I remember seeing it in there. I'm going, oh my God, that's so cool. And there were a couple of kids, not in the Subway, but on another time, asking for my autograph at a game, which I thought was hilarious and cute. But obviously that was my ever so slight feeling of what it might be like to be famous. Do you know what I mean? Like seeing yourself in a on a poster in a Subway sandwich shop and having some kids ask for your autograph. But anyway, hilarious. Oh, the Bowen was famous for stepping underneath guys on jumpers and causing them to hurt their ankles. There's a 16-minute supercut on YouTube. I'm watching that when I check it. Thank you, Steps Toys. Do I still have the picture? No, because I didn't have it in the first place. It wasn't mine. And so, like, I didn't even think at the time to ask. It would have been James if I could have it. James Bamfield was the coach at the time. And I didn't. Yeah, I didn't ask. I didn't even think to ask for it. But I would. Do you know what? I'd love to find that. I'd love to find that picture. They did. There was a few of them, and I didn't see all of them because I didn't go into Subway every week. But like, and they put them. They had it so they would put them in certain places around town as well. So there were probably multiple pictures of it go, not just mine, but like other players with the sub. But the funny thing was, it was like all a lot of the other players were in the shot as well. It's just thankfully I was the one laying it up. And did I make that layup? Can't even remember. More than likely not. Right, if I see you at a con, I'm asking for your autograph. Absolutely, do not do that, Scott. That would be almost as embarrassing as Matt shouting, "Oi, he collects G.I. Joes," in front of people. Anyway, this absolutely turned into the weirdest episode I think I've ever done, but it's happened, and there you go. I'm just going to put this back on screen. But actually, you know what? Let's transition, and we'll finish this one out. For those who were confused, it joined like, I don't know, three quarters of the way through just to get the McLeod life story. My apologies for that. But the news is that Super 7 Ultimates SDCC exclusive Zartan has been leaked, and it is the jungle trap scene that is getting the Ultimates treatment. And I the information more information to come, I guess, probably closer to the time as well. But yeah, you're looking at soft goods cloak and a few new accessories as well to throw in there, including a new head by the looks of things as well. Full force, come for the Zartan news, but stay for Chris. This is my life segment. Exactly. Thank you, FC Viper. Interview date has been set, Stanley, and I can give it away. So you'll have some idea as to when we're actually going to do this. Now, I say it's been set. Tentatively, we are going with Tuesday at 6:30 in the evening. So the likelihood of it coming going out the same day is almost impossible. But definitely I'll be working on it going into the next day, and hopefully should have it finished edit-wise on Wednesday. It'll either go out Wednesday night or Thursday, effectively. That's my aim. Typically as well, work is crazy at the moment, but that's always the way, isn't it? But yeah, we're tentatively saying 6:30 on Tuesday, so evening Tuesday. I'll be talking with everyone, with Emily, Lenny, and Tony for the first time, which is great. Not actually for the first time talking to Tony, as Tony and I have hung out a number of times. What's really funny, I hope you probably won't mind me mentioning this, but we hung out a little while ago. I think it was a post, social post. It was a while back. Travis Moody came down from Los Angeles, and we all basically hung out. It was Lenny, Tony, Chris from Disney, and Travis, and we all hung out and had some, drinks and food and everything. And I'm talking to Tony, and we get into like a little conversation, and he's like, he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, I thought it was you. You were at so and so's wedding, weren't you?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, yes, I was. I can't believe." And the funny thing was, we hung out and we talked and we had a whole conversation at this wedding. But because we didn't know the context of each other, I guess, it was like, and it was funny because it was a Hasbro sort of situation as well. Like, but anyway, we actually had a full-on conversation at this wedding, and neither only we only remembered when we started chatting again. It was like, "I remember you." It was so funny. So that was interesting. Like, and it is weird because like when you only have one interaction with somebody, it's always difficult to to remember that. Like I find anyway, like, and even when it's a memorable one, and which it was, I have many memorable experiences with people. Do I remember things? No, not like I forget names immediately after being told them. I'll forget full big things like, chunk. I definitely think my brain is broken. But at the same time, yeah, it was funny. And we were both looking at each other like, "Hang on, we've met before, haven't we? We've had a conversation. We hung out. We danced together." Anyway, that was great. So we'll be chatting with Tony for the first time on the show, at least. And that should be great as well. What are we saying? Give it away now. I'm not going to give anything away, Scott. So does Tuesday night, you'll be able to reveal Iron Grenadier Bat is coming. Probably, Ryan. Probably. How much are you guys looking forward to another movie line and watch the reactions? Probably won't say that. Tell Emily, Tony and Lenny to get that HasLab whale cooking or there will be trouble. Did I read that in the correct? Did you want it to be RoboCop there, New York Night 1974? Is that the gap and then trouble? That's the only gap and trouble I'm aware of in terms of references. Tell Emily, Tony and Lenny to get that HasLab whale cooking or there will be trouble. Ask Lenny if the classified Rattler stand will be like the Sky Striker. That's one way of tripping him up, isn't it? Stanley says, I have a destination wedding in Manchester, Vermont in August. How far are you from Vermont? Still pretty far. We're still talking like, I ain't running over there, I can tell you that much. Steps Toys says, if they're doing a Joe TF line, get them working on my Joe HQ Metroplex HasLab. On it, Steps Toys, on it. Anyway, yes, so I'll be doing that with them. If you fancy, I guess, like, maybe I'll put a social post on on our like Facebook, X and Instagram, just saying, hey, we're going to be interviewing the G.I. Joe team. Do you want to ask any questions? We'll pick some questions from you, the listeners and viewers, and we'll throw that on there. But anyway, that's it for tonight, guys. Thank you very much. And like I said, I'll be posting a special post on that, so you'll be able to put your comments and questions on that social post. Not here, because once this is done, I'll probably never look at it again. Just kidding. Anyway, like I said, Super 7, SDCC exclusive Ultimate Zartan from Jungle Trap has been leaked. So we can wait, obviously, a little bit longer before we get any more information about that. I will be back, no doubt, there's so much to do, isn't there? I mean, I'll be preparing for the weekly on tonight and tomorrow. So we're going to be a weekly. Sunday, we've got probably Let's Talk Classified Blowtorch. And then if there's any other news that crops up between now and the weekly, then I'll see you then. What's that link? What link? What link did I just say? Anyway, I don't know what link you're referring to. Have a great evening. Great rest of your Thursday. Like I said, I will post something on the old... on the old Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for asking questions. I'll see you later. Have a great night. Stay fresh, cheese bags. And as always, after three, you know what to do. 1, 2, and 3, full force. Laters.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on X, formerly Twitter, @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. We've also added a brand new Instagram, so check us out there as well, @TheFullForcePodcast. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on any of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.